I just want to remind you, we do have the notes on YouVersion. If you have the YouVersion app, you can go to the events, the live, and the notes are on there. So we're talking this month about walking in dependence on God. And we've talked about the fact that when we surrender to the Lord Jesus, we must realize how much we need him. Like, we cannot, when we come and surrender, to surrender our lives to the Lord Jesus, in those moments, if we really surrender and we really understand what we're doing, then we understand how desperately we need him. That we cannot save ourselves, that we cannot be good enough in ourselves in order to get ourselves to heaven. Now, the sad thing is that somehow often in serving God, we can get the idea that proving our ability to live the Christian life is the goal. In other words, to get good enough at this Christianity thing that we can pretty much do it on our own. And we don't even realize often that we get there. But because independence so pervades our society, which is a good thing, we train our children to become independent. That is our goal. We want them, when they, you know, move out of the house, to be able to be independent and do things on their own. And so in the physical sense, independence is a good thing. And yet, as we understand, in the spiritual sense, things are often turned completely differently than the way that we learn things in the physical sense. The problem is, we often try to apply our knowledge of things in this world to things in the spiritual world. And things are very different in the spiritual. In the spiritual, dependence honors God. In the physical, our goal is to become independent. But in the spiritual, dependence honors God. Jesus said the opposite of independence. In fact, if you look in John chapter 15, verse 5, it says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For," notice this last part, "without me you can do nothing." We cannot be independent if we cannot do anything without Jesus. So we have to learn dependence on him if we are going to accomplish anything in the spiritual sense. But that requires humility. It requires learning to hear his voice. It requires putting off on the shelf our ideas and our plans and our way of doing things in order to listen for his. And so that's what we've been talking about this month. So if Jesus said that without him we can do nothing, then obviously we need to learn to do things with him. We need to learn to do things in connection with him by depending on him. Also, we need to learn to rely on the Holy Spirit, who Jesus said would guide us into all truth. He said that in John 16:13. He said in John 14:26 that the Holy Spirit would cause us to remember what Jesus said, that he would bring those things back to our memory. And I'm telling you, this is true. It works. If you are going to walk in dependence and in close relationship with the Lord Jesus, which is what Christianity is supposed to look like. It was never, ever meant to be a self-help scheme where you learn how to be a good person and do good things. We can do that without God. There are lots of people that are not Christians that are good people that do good things. Christianity is not meant to teach us how to be a good person on our own and do good things. It is meant to cultivate a relationship with Jesus Christ to where he becomes our everything, to where we depend on him to lead us, to guide us. And we cannot do that if we don't learn to spend time with him. And I've said that over and over, but it is, it's sad to me how many, when they do these polls across America, and you know, like 75% of people say that they're Christians, and yet a large majority of people don't know that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are all books in the Bible. You cannot serve him if you don't know what he said. And, you know, a lot of times people say, well, I think that Jesus said this, and I think that Jesus believed this, and I think that this is how Jesus would. Look, we don't have to guess about what Jesus thinks. We can read what he said. It's not a mystery. It's not something we have to figure out. He made very clear how he felt about certain things. We just have to read about it. And that means that we have to take time out of our busy schedules. And listen, I understand being busy. We have to take time out of our busy schedules and say, God, you are more important. And if you do not have time to spend time with the Lord Jesus, then you need to take some things out of your schedule. Because if you claim the name of Christian, We have to make time to spend time with him. An important way to learn to walk closer to God is to learn to wait on him. If you put up the second PowerPoint, I skipped over the first one. So I've been reading this book, which I put it up here because I would encourage you to get it. If you have a Kindle, or you can get books on your phone, or you want to. I haven't been able to find it in print, but it is an ebook, and it is called Waiting on God, Returning to the Place of Absolute Dependence. God led me to this book, I promise. And he used Google Playbooks to do it. God can use unspiritual things to accomplish spiritual purposes. He does it all the time. But I was just like, God, we've been talking so much about dependence, and I need to understand more. I don't want to just repeat the same things over and over. So I did a search on Google Playbooks, dependence on God. And this came up, waiting on God, returning to the place of absolute dependence. And I went, okay. So I started reading this book. This book, Andrew Murray lived in the 1800s. He was a 19th century preacher who's written lots of powerful books. But he wrote about learning dependence on God through waiting on him. David, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote throughout the Psalms, which we're going to look at some of those today, about waiting on God, depending on him. Isaiah, also inspired by the Holy Spirit, in Isaiah 40, verse 31, said, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." They that wait upon the Lord. So this is not a new concept, but it is a timeless principle that we see that God wants to teach us, that has pervaded the Bible itself. And so when we learn to wait on him in all aspects of the word, we learn to hear his heart, we learn to trust him more, and we learn to experience his presence in new ways. We learn to trade our ways of doing things for his, but that always benefits us. Because his ways are always better and always higher. He is always wiser. And so what does it mean to wait on God? So the first definition in the Hebrew, I looked up in the Hebrew because the verse, if you'll put up Isaiah 40, 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength is what the Bible says. So the first definition, what it means in the Hebrew to wait, it means to bind, to tie or fasten tightly together, perhaps by twisting. So I have some twist ties because we like visuals. So just imagine waiting on God is binding yourself with God, fastening yourself with him so that his ways become the way that you look at things, so that the way that he thinks becomes the way that you think. Proverbs 18:24 says, in the second part of it, it says, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Sticks closer means joining, adhering. We are called into relationship with the Father, into relationship with God. In fact, a lot of people miss this, but Christianity is not meant to be a report card where we, like I said earlier, do it on our own and look at God to get our report card. It is meant to be a relationship where we, and I have learned to do this, that when I am walking into situations where I'm anxious about, I just picture myself holding Jesus' hand. God, you are walking with me. You said you would never leave or forsake me. I don't have to do this by myself. I don't have to figure it out on my own. I am going to walk with you and you will lead me. And so it is meant to be a relationship. We forget that God is the one who created relationships. He created the family relationship. He created friendship. He created all of these important relationships that we have learned how to deal with people. God created all that. He is our Father. He wants to have relationship with us. And I encourage you, if you don't have the type of relationship with your Father that you can understand what a real relationship with a Father is supposed to be, ask God to show you. He knows what your family history is. He knows what you've been through. And he can teach you and show you who he is. And we learn that partly by reading his word and understanding and allowing him to reveal things about himself. So we bind ourselves to the Lord by spending time with him. In our spending time with him, though, we miss it if we do all the talking. But let me tell you, that's easier. Like, it is easier. You come in, you have your list, you say, hello. Okay, wait, I forgot. I'm supposed to start with Thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for all that you have done for me. Okay, then I'm supposed to enter with praise. God, I praise you because you are so faithful. Okay, now to the list. God, this is what I need from you. I have all these people that need to be saved. I need money for this. I need, you know, strength in this area. This person is really getting on my nerves, so I need you to help me with them. You know, and so we kind of lay out our list. But the problem is, if we do all the talking, then we miss what he wants to say. God will speak to you. And so why is it when we realize who we're spending time with? Because sometimes, I don't know about y'all, but I have to remind myself, wait a minute. I am spending time with the God of the universe, the one who created the sun, moon, and stars, who created breath. So why is it when I stop and realize that I feel the need to say everything? Because that's just how we're comfortable. Most of us, we all know the term awkward silence. And that is when, you know, there's awkward silence because nobody's talking. And if you are an introvert, then you probably don't feel the need to fill that silence. You're comfortable. I've talked to a friend about that, and you're comfortable in the silence. If you're an extrovert, you feel the need to fill that silence. So if there is awkward silence, you're like, what do I need to say? How do I keep this conversation going? What kind of question can I ask? How do I go? And sometimes we enter into our prayer closet, our time with God like that. Okay, God, you're not talking, so I'm just going to keep this moving. We're just going to keep this moving so we can get going, you know, on what we need to say. We don't have to do that. We can learn to just be comfortable in the silence with God. God is comfortable with silence. He said, be still and know that I am God. In our fast-paced society, it is often difficult for us to be still unless we're watching television. And then we can sit still for 2 or 3 hours. And yet we get in our prayer closet and we're like, okay, God, you need to move this along. Like, I've been sitting here for 2 minutes and you haven't said anything. We have to learn to cultivate a listening ear. So I think it's just easier to talk. I know this from personal experience. But you can train yourself to learn to listen. In Psalm 25, verse 5, it says, I'll give you a chance to get there, those of you that are turning there. Psalm 25:5 says, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. See, this waiting thing, the beautiful thing is, it doesn't have to just be when we're praying. We can learn to cultivate a waiting, listening ear all day long, wherever we are. God, how do you want me to handle this situation? And the more that we involve God into our lives, the more that it will become habit to stop and ask his opinion. The more that we'll realize, rather than it being 8 hours that we haven't asked his opinion or thought about him, it's been maybe 3 hours, or it's been maybe an hour, or maybe we just got busy. And if that happens, we don't need to condemn ourselves. I read this book that kind of started me on this journey a couple of years ago called Practicing the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. And it was a monk that just learned to live in the presence of God all day long. And I thought when I first started reading it, God, is that possible? Because for so long, the scripture that says pray without ceasing seems so far removed. Like, God, how do you do that? I mean, we have lives, we have jobs, we have kids, we have, you know, things to do. How do you pray without ceasing? But when you begin to learn to walk in communion with the Lord and keep your ear open and learn to wait on him all the day, just listening, God, what do you want me to do here? And sometimes he doesn't say anything. And, you know, so you just keep doing what you're doing, trusting that he is leading you, because the Bible says that the preparations in the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. The Bible says that a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. The Bible says in Psalm 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so as we walk in communion with him, we can trust that he's leading us, even in the moments where we don't hear him speaking audibly or know exactly. But if we keep a listening ear, when he does want us to speak, then we can stop and go, wait a minute. I was about to plan this whole thing out, and God, I didn't even ask your opinion. What is your plan here? And that is something that we can fall into as older Christians, is that we can get to the point where we don't even ask God because we just assume that we know already. But let me tell you, God's ways are so different sometimes than ours. He surprises me all the time. Like, I think that I know how to handle a situation. And yet, because I have learned, just because Rick and I, we've learned with the church and with decisions that we're making in our family, God, we just lay it out before you, just in case you might want to do something completely different that we don't expect. We want to be able to hear what you have to say. And God will surprise you. Sometimes he'll tell you to do things completely different than what you thought. And the outcome is so much better when we follow his way. So, God teaches us through reading his word. Yes, we know that. That's a given. The word, God wrote the word to reveal himself to us. And so that we can learn about him. But he also desires to talk with us. So I challenge you to learn to wait in the stillness. Start with like 3 to 5 minutes and go, okay, Lord, I'm just going to be quiet for 5 minutes and I'm just going to listen. If you are like me, you will find yourself thinking and praying and talking. You'll find yourself looking at the wall, at the pictures and planning things that you need to hang or areas that you need to clean. Look, that's okay. Many times in our spiritual moments, we do not feel spiritual. I'm just going to lay it out there. There are many times that I am trying so hard to be spiritual and I find myself being so physical. My mind is all over the place, but that's okay because I just bring my mind back and go, okay, well, I wasted 3 of the 5 minutes, you know, so maybe we'll start over, you know, and I'll start and I'll be quiet. But I have learned God will speak to you. I had a question that I had asked God, God, I just don't know how to handle this situation. And I don't know if I did this wrong and I need you to show me. And so I just got still and quiet. And all of a sudden, God will speak through your thoughts. Now, this is where you have to learn to cultivate an ear for hearing the Holy Spirit. And it's sometimes, honestly, it is trial and error. It is, I think that this is God. And after you go, oh, maybe that wasn't God. Like, you know, that's happened to me before. But God is so good in that, you know, okay, so you have a wrong thought. God teaches us. It's a process in which we learn. And when our children are learning and they're trying, you know, I know we all have those times where our children are growing up and they're talking and they keep saying things I haven't had any little ones now since for like 9 years. So all of this is, you know, gone for me. I'm relearning all of this stuff. But when they're telling you something and they're like a toddler and they keep saying the same thing over and over and you keep looking at them going, I don't understand what you're saying. And they just keep repeating themselves until what I would do finally is just repeat what I think they're saying to see if then that would make them happy. You know, and sometimes it did and sometimes it didn't. Sometimes when we're learning the voice of God, we're going, God, is that you? Is that you? But that's okay because it's a part of the learning process. And God will work with us as we get there. He is the Father and we are the child. And so he will continue. He will be patient with us while we're learning. And so evaluate your thoughts and say, God, is that you? God, confirm it. If that's you, just confirm it. Let me know for sure that it's you. Sometimes he'll confirm it through something that somebody else says. Sometimes he'll confirm it through a scripture that you read or through something that you hear on the radio. And then you look back and you go, that was God. And then you remember what that sounded like and what that felt like. And that's how you learn to hear the voice of God. It is a process. But when we become hungry, God, I don't want to live another day without hearing your voice. Then we become hungry enough to do whatever it takes to learn his voice. And we become humble enough to maybe fall a little bit in the process. And that's okay. So when you're in his presence, cultivate worship. If you put up that farmer, this is a picture of a farmer with a hoe. And a farmer, in order to cultivate the ground, they have to break up the ground. When we come into our time with the Lord, we need to cultivate worship. You know that the Bible talks about worship. And worship, one of the definitions of worship in the Hebrew is to prostrate. To prostrate means to lay oneself flat on the ground, facing downward. Just lay down before God. That is a good thing to do if you can. Now, if you can't, I understand. God understands. You know, but if you can bow, if you can kneel, if you can lay prostrate on the floor before God, just cultivate worship. God, I just want to worship you. There are so many different ways to worship God. There's with our voice. There is praise with our hands. There is lifting up of our hands. There is bowing in worship. There are multitudes of different ways that we can worship God. But practice worshiping God in your time at home. Sometimes the reason it's so hard to worship when you get in here is if you don't worship God at all week, and then you come in and you're like, you don't know how to worship. We learn to worship not only in church, but in our times with God at home. And so, you know, if you want music, put on some music. Sometimes I listen to music. Sometimes I'm just quiet and I just lay in silence before God. Because like I said, God doesn't need us to fill the silence. He will speak if we will learn to be quiet and listen. Sometimes he'll bring a verse to your mind. Whenever you are asking God a question and a verse comes to your mind out of the blue, especially one that you haven't read in a long time, or even one that you read yesterday, recognize that and say, God, is that you? Look it up and see what it says, the context. But many times God will just take a verse and bring it to our minds. I will never forget one of the clearest examples of this. Well, I've had a few, but one time we were seeking God about what to do in a particular situation. And I had sought God. I had written in my journal like 4 pages, just, God, I don't want to miss you and I want to hear you. I'd written like 4 pages. The next morning I woke up with like 5 words on my head. Like 5:45 in the morning, I woke up with these words in my head. I didn't even know if it was a scripture. I went to the computer and typed the words into Bible Gateway, and immediately it came up, a scripture in Amos. I'm like, I don't even know when I've read Amos. Like, I have read it, but I don't remember when. I knew that it was God, and God gave us direction in that. God will speak to you when you learn to listen to him. And so, but as a farmer, sometimes we have to break up the hard places in our lives. Do you know that the Bible says break up the fallow ground? And it doesn't say for us to ask God to do it. That is an imperative sentence. It means an imperative. You learn in English that you put you in front of it. You break up the fallow ground. When we see areas of pride in our lives, sometimes we do need to pray and involve God and say, God, help me. But sometimes we need to, if we can't get in a place of worship before God, we need to break up that fallow ground. We need to learn to worship God. If we care too much about what other people think, God said to me one time, Shannon, you care more about what other people think than what I think. And you're just like, oh, you know, you feel so bad. But God in his mercy will tell you these things down here on earth so you can fix it before you stand before him in heaven. And so when he says those things to us, we need to get in connection with God and say, God, show me how to break this up. God, deal with me. I had some time that there was just some ugly things that I kept seeing in myself. And I said to God, God, where is this coming from? And immediately God gave me a picture of a refiner. And God said, Shannon, I'm just bringing that stuff up to the top so we can sweep it off. I said, God, skim it off the top. Burn it up so that you can skim all those impurities off out of my life, out of my heart. And so we have to cultivate those times of worship in silence. Now, that can sound super spiritual. There used to be a saying that used to pervade the church. I've grown up in the church. I've been in the church literally 41 years, the whole time that I've been alive. And people used to say, those people are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. The problem is, I feel like now there has been a shift. There are so many people that are so earthly minded that they are no heavenly good. The truth is, we cannot, as God's people, keep our eyes focused on earthly things and expect to excel in our spiritual life. Paul said in Colossians, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. That word, set your mind, means to exercise the mind intensively, to interest oneself in with concern or obedience. So as Christians, our minds are to be set on heavenly things. How is what I am doing today going to impact eternity? Can you impact eternity going to your job, being at home with your kids? Absolutely. Because God knows where you are. You just say to God, God, my life is yours. My day is yours. Show me how to impact the kingdom with what I have, with where I am. God has taught me with having another baby at 41. He gave me the scripture, like arrows in the hands of a mighty man, so are the children of one's youth. I have realized more with this child what a responsibility it is to raise godly children so that they are arrows against the kingdom of darkness and for the kingdom of God. And I'm like, man, we don't even realize what a big deal this is. So none of our time is wasted. None of it has to be wasted. Whatever you're doing, you can surrender your time and your life to God and say, God, just use it. However you can use it. God, let me have an open ear to listen to you today. But we have to be intentional about it. It will not just happen. Because as Christians, we are not swimming with the stream. If you just swim with the stream and you let it go, you will end up falling into the pattern of the world. And it's real comfortable to do that. In fact, initially, it's a lot easier. Like, oh, gosh, I don't have to get up and, you know, go to church. I don't have to, you know, spend time in my devotions. I don't have to be the bigger person. I don't have to, you know, love people and forgive and do all of these things. And that might feel easier initially, but it is never easier in the long run. God's ways are always better. But in retraining our thinking, Christianity has to bring about a change, because Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As we begin to retrain our thinking, we will notice that our actions begin to change. But if your thinking starts to change, your actions will begin to change. It's just a given. So the second definition that we're going to go through quickly is to look patiently. Waiting teaches us a new level of dependence. It teaches us to trust. In his book, Waiting on God, if you put up that next PowerPoint, Joe, it says, he writes, patience then becomes our highest blessedness and our highest grace. It honors God and gives him time to have his way with us. It is the highest expression of our faith in his goodness and faithfulness. It is the evidence of our full consent that God should deal with us in such a way and time as he thinks best. And this is not just in the waiting in our times of devotion. This is in waiting instead of making our own plans, seeking God. And if God doesn't speak immediately, waiting until he does. And this requires patience, because it is a lot easier to just do things yourself, but it's not easier in the long run. God's ways are always better, but it requires trust on our part to learn to wait, to do things that we feel like we can do on our own. It requires dependence and learning humility. Such patience is needed for the true and full waiting on God. Such patience is the growth and fruit of our first lessons in the school of waiting. To many, it will appear strange how difficult it is truly to wait on God. It requires stillness and humility. Psalm 62, 1 and 2 says, truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. And I love that moved, it means to totter. It means to be out of course. When we learn to wait on God, we don't have to get off course. We can stay on his course. Verse 5 through 8 says, my soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times. Notice all of these extreme words. He only is my salvation. Trust in him at all times. You people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. I will tell you, as you learn to go to God and talk to him and pour out your heart to him, it will become to where you want to pour out your heart. To where you're like, I am struggling. I cannot wait to get into my time so that I can just pour out my heart to God. And what is initially a little bit more difficult to learn, not maybe to run to people, but to run to God, becomes like something you look forward to. Like, I believe that's why Jesus would pull apart by himself to pray. He needed to refuel. He needed to be with the Father. He needed to pour out his heart and his frustration. He needed to hear God's plans for the next day and to follow. So, as I said earlier, Sometimes we don't feel spiritual at the time when we're in our time with God. That's okay. We don't go by our feelings. We choose to obey and trust that God is working, and we wait and expect the reward for seeking Him. Because as we learn to wait, we begin to see that our trust in Him is growing, that our faith in Him is growing. It's like using a spiritual muscle. You know, I've said it lots of times, and anytime you start working out, you want to see the results tomorrow, which never happens. You know, I mean, it takes time for the muscle to show and for things to change in your body. Many times we are working in that spiritual muscle, and things are being worked that we don't see. And it's not until all of a sudden one day you realize, whoa, there is a change there. The same thing happens in our life spiritually. As you learn to wait on God, as you begin spending time with Him, you might not feel at all spiritual in that time of waiting on God. But what will happen is the next time you're faced with the same situation that you struggled with before, all of a sudden you're like, God's got this. It's like, how am I not worried about this? I would have been worried before. It's because God builds our trust during those times. And all of a sudden, we are in closer relationship with Him. And so it becomes more natural for us to trust Him. In those times, recognize that is growth. That is change. That is God. I recognize that instead of just plowing ahead and making my own plans this time, I stopped to check with you. Because I'm learning to listen. I'm learning to seek your face. I'm learning to hear your plans. It's a work in progress. And so, don't let your feeling or lack thereof determine your obedience. This morning I was praying and the house was quiet. And I just said to God, God, it would be so awesome if I could just feel your presence. Like I'm thinking, you know, like some of these people have and angels. You see angels and hear, you know, the sound of, you know, I don't know, just tangible presence of God. And immediately the verse came, blessed are those who have believed and have not seen. And you know the cool part is I realized either way we're blessed. I'm blessed if I see. I'm blessed if I don't see. So it doesn't matter. Either way, we're blessed because He will honor His promises. So allow your faith and trust to be built. Psalm 131 verses 1 and 2 says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child. This is a grown man saying these things, you know, praying these things to the Lord. Like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. There was a time when I was asking God what to do about a situation, and all God would give me were these two verses. I think I looked up in the Hebrew every word in these two verses because it was like all God would give me. But I kept learning new things. And during that time, I realized God was teaching me trust in waiting on Him. Because we as adults, we like to have our questions answered. If we ask a question, we like for somebody to answer it immediately, if not sooner. And God is the Father in this situation, and He does not always answer immediately. He will let us wait sometimes. But that time of waiting is building our trust and teaching us patience. And so, sometimes God just says, trust me. Andrew Murray writes, believer, in waiting on God, you may often be weary because you hardly know what to expect. I beg you, be of good courage. This ignorance is often one of the best signs. He is teaching you to leave everything in His hands and to wait on Him alone. I don't want to end with these last two verses. Psalm 27:14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He does strengthen us spiritually. And like I said, when we learn to cultivate times with God, just ignore what the flesh is doing. If you feel like you don't feel spiritual, you feel like your mind is wandering, that's okay. We have all been there. Just surrender that to the Lord. Say, God, I am trying. I need your help because I am struggling. But know that even in those times, God hears us. He sees our willingness to spend time with Him. He sees our heart. And the beautiful thing is as we learn to wait individually, we will be more comfortable in learning and waiting and depending on Him as a group. I know that I know that I know that this is something that God is trying to work in this church. because Rick and I pray and seek God about where we're headed and what God wants us to do. I tell Jesus, and we both do all the time, Jesus, you are the head of this church. You are the chief shepherd. We're just under you. So we don't just plan things. We seek God. God, where are we going? What are you trying to teach us? And one thing that God is trying to teach us as a body is dependence on him. And imagine what our services would look like if every one of us came in depending on God, ready to do whatever he wanted us to do, prepared with our hearts to worship the Almighty God, focused our affection already set, our mind already set on him. Imagine what the services would look like and how God would move. So as we learn to do that in our times individually, we will be prepared to come in and spend time with him collectively as a group. Acts 2:1 said, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. That is not an easy thing to do. It's easy to be in one place. It is hard to be in one accord often. Because we can come in, and even though we all have a desire maybe to serve the Lord, we're at different places spiritually, and maybe some came in and they had an argument before they got here, and maybe some came in and they were yelling at their kids before they walked in, and you come in and you're just like, you know, you're not anywhere spiritual, you know? I mean, and so when we learn to cultivate so that, man, all of us are in one accord, really focused, completely focused on Jesus, and seeing his heart and doing his will, man, God is going to move in new ways. So let's learn to wait on God and trust him and follow his lead. Because then God will be honored and we will be drawn closer. I just want to invite you as we pray. If you need prayer, the Bible says that we are to pray together as a group. It is a spiritual thing for us to agree in prayer over things. And so that's why we always offer it. It is a spiritual thing. If you are sick, the Bible says if there is any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church, anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. If you need to seek God and you need to do, just make some steps and make some commitments to the Lord about what you've heard today, we just want to give you that opportunity. If you have never really surrendered to the Lord Jesus, and I'm not just talking about praying a prayer, I'm talking about God, my life, and everything in it. All of my frailties, all of my weaknesses, all of my past sins, God, I surrender to you. And Jesus comes and he will forgive and cleanse and teach us how to walk with him. So if you need prayer, we would be glad to pray with you.